Hey guys, what's up? It's William the Opinion Updike with Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On Network. I'm joined as I am every day by my best friend.
What's up guys? Positive Chuck Mockler here.
And we have got a lot for you. The NBA has started, finally.
Thank God.
So today we're going to go over the matchups from last night. Luckily there were only two, and then we're going to get into a preview of some of the games tonight. There's like 11 total, so we probably won't go into everyone. And we're not going to have an parallel universe this week, but instead we're going to spend a little bit more time looking at the matchup for tonight's season opener for the Clippers against the Denver Nuggets. All that coming up right now.
Cool. So the first kind of cool thing is Kyle Kuzma signed the first deal. He signed with GOAT, which is like a various, like they just produce fancy shoes you can kind of bid on.
Yeah, well, they're a reseller. They don't produce anything.
I think it's kind of weird that he signed with a reseller. I'm not sure how this is totally legal, given they're reselling shoes from independent users.
Yeah, totally. Because, I mean,
like, I understand the reselling market. I'm a pretty big sneakerhead, but this seems weird. It seems like maybe brands have more of an influence over what shoes he's going to wear. Because it's an all-encompassing. He can wear any brand he wants.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I guess I just don't understand how it's going to work out if you ever want to do advertisements. Because if you show Kuzma in a pair of shoes, wouldn't you need a clearance from that company?
Yeah, you would think.
Like, it's, I don't know, it's very bizarre to me. I think the idea is cool, though.
For sure. He's going to have sweet shoes.
He probably just got a bigger offer from them than anyone else.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's going to have, like, probably the dopest selection of any of the rookies.
Yeah, for sure. Unless ones who spend their own money on shoes.
Or I guess they're sophomores now. They're not rookies, but still.
Still rookies in my book. So let's get into some wrap-ups. The Thunder fell to the Golden State Warriors last night, 100-108.
Closer than I would have thought.
I think most people, too, with Westbrook not playing. Curry had 32, 9, and 8. Durant had 27. That's all kind of par for the course. Klay really sucked. 5 of 20. Almost shot him out of the game. Really wish that it mattered when one of their guys went 5 and 20, but it just doesn't.
No, totally.
Which kind of sucks. I think the coolest thing, or the biggest kind of takeaway for the Warriors is Kevon Looney had 10 and 10. 8 of those boards being offensive boards, which is kind of nuts given today's
game. Mean, I think it's one of those things where the Warriors are thinking ahead of the curve, and it's like, oh, nobody's getting offensive boards anymore. Let's do it.
Let's plant a guy down there, and we'll have 4 shooters. He's going to be crucial for when Boogie... until Boogie gets back, I should say. Steven Adams had 17, 11, and 4. Paul George had 27 with a minus 16 plus minus, which isn't good. Did you see any Schroeder highlights?
No, I actually haven't watched any highlights yet from this game.
Schroeder looked really good. I mean, he had 21, 6, and 9, which, like, I mean, when Westbrook is back, he's going to be maybe, like, the perfect complement coming off the bench because it's kind of a similar play style, and he seemingly can run the offense well.
Yeah, and he's like a good passer.
Yeah. Terrence Ferguson really didn't help anybody but the Warriors. He had 0-4-1 in 26 minutes of play, which is really hard to do. Kind of a, I guess, somber note. Patrick McCaw is still holding out of his contract. He skipped the ring ceremony. He's now declined 2 contract offers, which it's kind of a weird situation. And his teammates are like genuinely worried about him.
Oh, wow. Like, well, that puts a weird spin on it. I thought he was just being a dick.
I thought he was, too, but now his teammates are like, there's got to be something more going on. Like,
oh, well.
It seems rough.
The best to Patrick McCaw.
Yeah, we hope he gets it figured out because it is such an odd situation, man. Like, 2 contracts from the best team in the league. We hope he gets that worked out. The only other game that happened was 70.
Oh, before we move on, what did do you think this game was indicative of anything later in the season or it's just an early season game?
I think it was maybe more indicative of it showed how much better I guess Schroeder is than I thought he was.
Yeah.
For this team.
Definitely.
For sure. I mean, Paul George had a great game, just maybe needs to work on his defense. But for the Thunder or for the Warriors, it just seemed kind of like
par for the course.
Same old stuff.
Yeah, they
need 2 guys to dominate, maybe even 1.
They're showing up for work. Like they're required to every, you know.
Yeah, they just happen to be the best at the office at what they do, so it doesn't matter.
Do you think that where do you think the Thunder are going? Like, just this one game, I didn't watch it, mind you, so what's your one game reaction?
One game reaction?
Like, where do the Thunder finish based on this one game?
Still probably, like, 4 seed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if they can kind of get some of their defensive stuff figured out, if Terrence Ferguson can be better than 0-4-1 in 26 minutes, it'll be good. And it was only an 8-point game.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Like, I'm not sure. There's a lot of hate for Westbrook or whatever, but I'm sure if he was on the floor, it maybe would have been closer than they might have even won.
Yeah, that could have been enough to put him over the top. As I said, I didn't watch this game, but just based on reading the box score, I'm going to go with Thunder as like a 5-6 seed.
Yeah, kind of in that range. Definitely not a 6 seed you would want to play if you're the 4 seed. Or whatever seed plays the 6
seed.
Yeah, the 3. That would not be a fun matchup for where that's going to be.
Yeah.
I think if they're, I think that almost helps the Thunder with their vibe if they're like a lower seed.
Yeah. It
makes them a little more dangerous. Like a cornered wild animal.
But not if they go any lower than 6.
Oh, yeah, no. If they're an 8, yeah, it's over. They'll probably play this team again.
But yeah, we can move on to this Sixers-Celtics game.
Man, Sixers got waxed.
They did. They did. And, you know, we were talking outside of the pod a little bit, but I feel like last year I definitely got caught up in like the Sixers narrative.
I think a lot of people did.
And it was like exciting to see them be so good already that I think we might have overestimated like yeah, how good they were. And some flaws definitely got exposed. Historically, the Celtics have like whooped on this Sixers
yeah
team.
They won by 18.
Yeah, so there's no surprises there. The score could have easily been higher had like Kyrie been shooting well, had
yeah
Gordon Hayward had his regular legs beneath him. I just think that
not his robot ankle.
His robot ankle. I don't know. It just the first question I have here in my notes is, are the Sixers a good team or just a fun to watch team with a few good players?
I think it's maybe the second thing. I think you're right. Like, fantastic, fun to watch. Embiid's great. Simmons is great.
Simmons almost like had a triple-double, 19-15-8.
Can't hit free throws.
No, he went 5 of 11, which,
if you're going to get contact at the rim, you got to hit those free
throws. If you're
throws
the kind of player that he is, like a guy who's always making aggressive drives to the basket, free throw, like, you, I don't know, you, how can you be a less than 80% free throw shooter? It makes
Boban's
no sense
over
to me.
As higher in the preseason, or he was. They really crush in transition.
Yeah.
They're maybe the best transition team like in the league just because Embiid can run and Simmons can run and all those guys can just keep going.
I would agree. I think that that's definitely this team's strongest point is the transition play.
Which is hard when you go against a team like the Celtics who are just going to stop you.
Yeah. So I think that any team that plays the Sixers will need to make like offensive rebounding like more of a priority.
Definitely.
Because once they get into the half court set, like just watching, I like start to get nervous because you can just tell like the offense isn't as not as sure of itself.
They have like one, maybe two shooters.
Yeah.
Fultz passed up open threes last night. Simmons for sure isn't going to shoot threes, which he seems fine with. So that's good.
Yeah.
But they only really have like Redick and
Embiid can be a threat from outside.
Yeah, but yeah, like, and not enough really in like the half court offense, like run it through him.
Yeah,
like every once in a while, that's
he turns
like
the ball
nice
over
threat
a lot too in a regular half court offense. So I don't know. Also, JJ Redick, I don't think should be coming on the off the bench.
He should just start.
You should start your best players.
You should just start him.
He had, I think he had finished with 16 points last night. It was like him, Embiid, and Simmons obviously just handling the majority of the
yeah, Fultz had 5, 3, and 2 in 24 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, like the Fultz thing is good. I understand wanting to like get him out there. I understand it's like only one game. I'm not saying he's a bust already. I'm just saying that you don't need to start rookies.
Yeah, it's fine. Like,
yeah,
let him. He still needs to grow, so let him grow. Moving to the Celtics, I think this game really showed how deep the Celtics are.
Oh, yeah.
No one played more than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
For the Celtics, and they crushed this team effectively. Hayward looked a little shaky, which, you know, that's fine. That makes total sense.
Yeah, total mix of things. He actually said, which I thought was interesting, that, like, there's like a weird anxiety where like you're too ready to play.
Oh, definitely.
So he's like, he catches himself like biting at every single pump fake and like just little things
want
where like
to do a lot.
Yeah.
Tatum had 23-9-3. God, he is so damn good.
It's unreal.
It's like crazy how good he is.
Needs to work on the 3-point percentage.
Yeah.
That wasn't great. But you know, it'll come and then that'll just be another tool.
Marcus Morris was 16-10. They're going to win any game that he gets 16 and 10, I feel like.
Marcus Morris was a highlight of this game. Mm-hmm. And like
didn't get ejected, which is good.
Yeah, wasn't the highest scorer, but like was pretty effective on both sides of the floor. I think only had like one or two turnovers. But yeah, he had a really strong showing from Marcus Morris, who I think is kind of underrated as a rotation piece on this team.
Definitely. And now you have a note in here that I don't necessarily agree with. Do you think they should trade Kyrie?
Okay, so I know I'm not the only one, but I've been like spewing this since essentially since he got injured at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
His stock was still like really, really high. And I don't, obviously he's not a bust. He's not even in game shape yet. So like, we don't even know like what he's going to look like. It's just a situation where, I feel like you have one season left of Kyrie where you can trade him, you know? I think had they got him to sign the extension, it would have been a little bit more alluring for them to trade him.
For sure, because then you have him locked in, the cat might jump.
Yeah, and it's much more team friendly. So the thing is that I just with the depth that they already have at the guard position,
entertain some things.
Yeah, I think it's worth shopping to see what else you could get. If you could get another contributing guard and a draft pick or two, I think that'd be pretty solid. Although, you know, he is still definitely one of the best guards in the league. So.
Yeah. So we're going to do a quick rundown of some of these 11 games that are coming up. This is going to be fast because we want to get into the Clippers stuff. Mavs at Suns. I'm really excited to see Ayton versus DeAndre. I think that's going to be cool.
Yeah. Ayton versus Jordan?
Yeah, sorry. I think...
No, just Ayton versus himself.
Ayton versus him in the mirror. Ayton might be overwhelmed by such an athletic big guy. I don't know. He didn't really have to play too many of them in the preseason, but we'll see. Super psyched to see DSJ and Doncic destroy Phoenix's point guard, shooting guard combination. Like, they're going to feast.
You think the Mavs win this game?
Yes.
I'm a little torn, but yeah, I'm going to go with them. I'll go with the Mavs as well.
Yeah. Jazz at Kings. The Jazz are going to win by 30.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see some more weird lineups from the Kings. I really hope De'Aaron Fox and Donovan Mitchell kind of go at each other.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool. I hope Harry Giles continues his like weird ascension or like resurgence. He looked really good in the preseason and people have been talking about him.
Yeah, people are excited.
Who do you got in this game?
I got to go Jazz.
By how many?
I'm going to say 15.
Nice.
But it's just because they're going to play a gentleman's
game. They're
going to
chill. Yeah, it's going to be a gentleman's 15. Timberwolves at Spurs. This feels like a toss-up. I don't know if I trust coaches popping over or coach pops coaching, Jesus, over like the pure talent that is the Wolves. But there's so much turmoil that I'm like, it seems like it could be a blowout on either side.
Yeah, I think it's going to go the Timberwolves' way. And once again, I would be surprised if they won by less than 10 points.
All right. I like that take.
Pels
at Rockets. The debut of content Bench Mello.
Sixth man of the year.
Sixth man of the year, baby. I think AD is really going to crush, but they're going to lose.
Yeah.
The Washington Post had Clint Capella ranked as the 21st best player in the NBA, which is truly insane.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Brandon Ingram, I think, was like 88 or something like that.
No, so, wrong.
Wrong. You're wrong. that's just the Western Conference games. There's four or five other games you can check out if you want. Coming up after this break, we're going to get into just a pretty big old long game preview for you guys.
Yeah.
So tonight... the Clippers return to the Staples Center, taking on the Denver Nuggets.
Woo.
We beat them by 6 in the preseason. That was a pretty interesting game. Tobias and Ty Wallace and Gortat didn't play in that game, which I think it kind of helps us out. We beat them by 6. We had 56 total rebounds in that game against them. We out-rebounded them by 6, which I think we can hopefully do more tonight because Gortat's going to actually be playing.
That would be good to see. Historically, I only go back to last season just because of how...
The team's so different.
Because it's not the same team. But historically, from that context, the Nuggets have been a better rebounding team. I think they were second last year in the league for offensive rebounding. And then they averaged, two or three more rebounds per game than we did, which I know doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're creating points off of that, that is significant.
And it's only a 6-point game in the preseason, so that's two or three rebounds. One of the weirdest things of that preseason game was that Lou Williams led the team in assists, which... If that happens during the regular season, I don't think we're going to win too many games. but that probably won't translate to this game. I'm excited to see Ty Wallace get some run with like the third or second string guys.
Yeah.
After surviving this insane cut situation. Trez had 4 blocks in the preseason game. 2 of them were like pure like volleyball spikes.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, it was pretty rad. But I'm excited. I think the scoreline might be similar.
Okay, what was the score in the preseason game?
The preseason game, I think, was 108 to 102 or something like that, or 106 to 100.
Okay.
So I think we were with first to 100, so Lawler's Law applied there.
I was going to say, but my prediction for tonight's game, I think I'm going Clippers, obviously.
Yeah, obs.
And I'm thinking 110 to 102.
Yeah, so kind of in that range, these teams are really close to each other.
Yeah.
Like the Nuggets have a few more marquee stars, you know, with Jokic and stuff like that. But, I mean, Boban's going to be unleashed on Jokic tonight.
Yeah.
We for sure know that that's going to happen.
Definitely.
Which is going to be great. I think he's going to absolutely crush. What do you think gameplay-wise is going to go down in this game?
Gameplay-wise, well, I don't know. We have this new identity that I think that we're going to hopefully try to assert. You know, I want to see... Yeah, quick, and I want to see, like, a lot of the... Like, this defensive grit. Because the Nuggets are... You know, they're... I don't know if I want to say great or just good, but they have a solid offense. They're a solid.
They're borderline team. Great.
Yeah, they're up there. A lot of versatile scorers. They're, you know, like not as good of a defensive team as us. So I would really like to see that work itself out. You know what? I'm actually going to change my prediction.
Oh.
I think we're going to hold the Nuggets to under 100 points.
Hell yeah, dude. That'd be awesome.
I'm going to say 98 to 108.
98 to 108, a chill 10-point win. I'm all right with that. Yeah, looking at the notes here, Jamal Murray and Gary Harris versus Beverly and Bradley kind of like might be where the game hinges.
Yeah, yeah. So it's an interesting, like, it's what's the saying? Like a immovable object meets an unstoppable force.
Yeah.
Because it's like a insane defense versus like, I mean, I would say a solidly underrated
offensive backcourt, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm excited to see how that pans out.
That we're gonna have to win that battle early.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to. I think with when you have a team that has a defensive identity like the Clippers are going for, you gotta start that early. You gotta start that suppression of offense like right off the bat.
Totally.
Like maybe within the first 6 possessions that the other team has.
Oh, I agree.
You gotta be in their face. You gotta be moving around there, like, which we will do, but
I want to see them set that. I want to see Beverly and Bradley set that tone early, both, you know, like being kind of vets. The Nuggets are a somewhat younger team, you know, they have some vets for sure.
Yeah, but Jamal Murray's got young legs.
Yeah, like, and I think that if they exert that sort of defensive force right away, maybe they force them to make some mistakes or something, that's going to get in their head. It gets in the heads of younger guys.
And you want to frustrate them. I mean, most of the goal when you're a defensive team is to just frustrate the other team so much that they don't play well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which hopefully will be awesome to see. We're going to get a little more in depth with just some what to watch for, things to make us pretty excited about and what we need to do to win. But first, this is for all my guys who need dong help. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue, brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, park bench, convenience store, movie theater, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is just prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness with your super cool doctor. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code, CODE, in all capital letters.
That's a good one.
Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code CODE to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. Okay, getting into what to watch for this Clippers game. No one on the injury report.
Yeah.
Might be the only time all season, but we'll take it.
I'm so psyched to see that, man. They've got a few players, most notably IT.
That sucks. I really wanted to see IT tonight.
Yeah.
I'm being honest.
Yeah. But yeah, go us.
That makes me really happy. Shea's debut with the second run. Oh my God, it's going to be so awesome when he checks in.
Yeah, Staples definitely going to be something to watch for.
Crazy.
I don't even know how I'm supposed to work today. I'm so excited.
We got a Dodgers game at 2. We got a Shea's debut. What are we going to do tonight? A big thing I'm looking for is Mike Scott's play off the bench.
Yeah.
He was kind of shaky in the preseason. I think a large part of our bench play, other than Shea, kind of hinges on him hitting open threes. He had some conditioning concerns, apparently, from Doc. So maybe we won't see him too much tonight. But
he's got to definitely step up. Like, we need him for that second unit to be able.
He has to hit those threes.
Yeah, he has to be able to draw some attention and bodies away from Lou Williams on that second unit. So,
and their defense on that second unit is a little suspect. So if he's hitting those open threes, it makes looking at those bad defensive numbers a little easier to stomach, I think.
Yeah, I do think that something to watch for in the game is going to be the bench performance overall of the Clippers versus the Nuggets. I think that we have a very underrated bench, as you know, like as opposed to the Nuggets bench. I looked at a couple of like odds and comparisons, and a lot of people weren't sure who to give the advantage to bench wise. I think the decision is actually obvious, but you know, maybe I'm a little twisted. Maybe I'm a little skewed Clippers. I don't know.
We're talking about call me crazy. How much time do you think Milos is going to get tonight?
You know, I would be very surprised if he played 10 minutes.
Yeah, I have 8 minutes, 2 flashy passes, and 4 points is what I see for Milos.
Okay, I like that.
It also kind of depends on how I think Shea is playing.
Yeah.
If Shea is looking a little over his head, because this is the start of the brutal 10 games we have to go through in this first season.
Yeah.
Like, if we get this win tonight, that makes it so much easier.
Definitely.
But, like, if Shea looks a little in over his head, I don't think Doc will be hesitant in giving Milos a few more minutes.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
sucks.
I don't know. We just have so much depth at the guard position. I'm not really worried about it.
Yeah. I hope Ty takes some of Milos' minutes.
Yeah, I would like to see Ty get more time too. I'm definitely not out on Milos by any means.
Not at all. He just didn't play at all in the preseason. Like, he was hurt with all these weird injuries that, like, kind of just were reported the day of games and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I think we should, you know, just kind of limit his minutes and. You know, we'll have the smoking god in there when we need him.
Yeah.
He'll
have some cigs on the bench.
Yeah, otherwise just let him chill. He looks sleepy.
Yeah.
he needs a rest, dude. Something else to watch for this game, I'm pretty sure might hold the record for the most Serbian players in an NBA game.
Hey, good. You know?
I didn't look at this historically anywhere. I just
guessed.
Other
than outside of Serbia, yeah, this is probably pretty up there.
I just guessed, but I would think that there's more Serbian players in this NBA game than any other.
I like your note in here about maybe crashing the glass might punish the Clippers tonight.
Yeah, so as we talked about a little bit earlier in the show, the Nuggets last year were a little bit better of a rebounding team than the Clippers. And I wonder if they can use that to their advantage tonight.
Mm-hmm. Get those young legs moving. So what the Clippers need to do to win, they got to use Boban.
Yeah, so Boban is, for whatever reason, very effective against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. You know, I think that he can, anywhere within probably 10 to 15 feet of the basket, shut down Jokic, which is kind
for
of
sure.
The fulcrum of their offense.
Yeah, he's getting triple-doubles, so if you can lock him down, they're kind of done for.
And he also kind of scores with ease. There's nobody that really can guard him.
Yeah.
So I think that we're going to see some good minutes from Boban tonight, and you know, hopefully that, you know, they'll just be too confused. They won't know what to do with him
out there.
Oh,
he's so tall. Gallo, for me, I think Gallo has to keep up his preseason pace. Every single shot coming off his hand in the preseason looked like it was going to go in. He's playing with insane amount of confidence, even more so than he usually plays with, which is kind of astonishing. He can take it to that another level.
Yeah, and because I can't remember what few games he played in last year, I'm going to go ahead and say that this is his first game at home against his former team.
Yeah, we'll say that for sure. I think he's going to have to keep that up. The Clippers play at a higher pace than the Nuggets.
Yeah, last year the Clippers averaged about 99.6 possessions per game, which was good for 7th in the entire league, whereas the Nuggets finished 14th with about 97 possessions per game.
So we got to make these things count.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's only going to be a 10-point game, as you for sure 100% accurately corrected, we got to make those count for sure.
Yeah, I think that we have the tools to be pretty punishing in transition, and I just think we have to make it go.
So who's going to shine tonight?
Who's going to shine tonight? obviously Boban. You know, he's the Nuggets destroyer. I think that Toby is going to prove tonight. You know, he's got to start to make a statement to the entire league as to why he's going to be a 20-plus, I mean, more than $20 million a year player.
I got a prediction.
What do you got?
Toby's going for 30 tonight.
I love it.
I think Tobias is going for 30 tonight.
I love it.
I think he's going to be feeling it. I think Shea's going to be out there with him a couple times, and the chemistry is just going to be palpable. I think he's putting up 30 tonight. God, I hope so. I think Trez is going to stuff the stat sheet. I think Trez might be close to like a quintuple nickel, the ever-elusive quintuple nickel. He's a guy who can do that. I could see him getting 5 boards, 5 points, 5 blocks. 5 assists and 5 steals. That's something I could see Trez doing.
All right.
Maybe not tonight, but man, I don't know. I think he's going to come out just like with his hair on fire. Like him and Patrick Beverley on the floor together tonight are going to be so annoying to play against for the Nuggets.
Oh, yeah.
If they wind up on the floor. I hope Bradley kind of comes in with some intensity. He kind of has lazy face.
Yeah.
Like no matter what's happening, he kind of always looks the same, which is good sometimes. But I hope tonight he comes out just chomping at the bit and is ready to shut down their backcourt.
Yeah, I hope if shots aren't falling for Bradley, as it seems he's had some trouble doing as of late, he can at least lock in defensively. Like, if we can at least get that out of him, I'll be pretty pleased.
For sure. Now, here's the biggest question that everyone's worrying about. Are we going to see Angel Delgado play tonight?
My guess would be no.
Probably not.
Just because I think that Bobby is going to get... you know, this will be one of his highest minutes games.
Yeah, I don't think Trez is going to play too much, actually, because Boban's just so good matchup-wise.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping in limited minutes, Trez can crush it. But yeah, Boban is probably going to see, what do you think, 20 minutes tonight?
I was going to say 15 to 18.
15 to 18? Yeah, I'm comfortable with that range. Gortat's really going to have to set the tone down low too early. If Jokic gets into a rhythm, he's one of those guys where when he's in a rhythm, kind of hard to stop.
I'm curious to see how that lineup works. I don't know. Like, what do you think about Gortat?
Against Jokic?
Yeah, defending Jokic.
I think Jokic is going to kill him.
Yeah, I think he's going to flame him.
I think Gortat might do well on boards, but that'll be because Jokic is already running back to play defense or something like that. I don't know.
Jokic running to play defense?
Yeah,
are you insane?
It will be. I'm excited to see Gortat. It's going to be, I think he's not going to end up with the most minutes at center this game despite starting.
Yeah, I think it'll actually be a pretty even distribution between between Gortat, Trez and Boban.
All right. Well, guys, we will be at the game tonight.
Yeah, hopefully we see you there.
Yeah, we're in section 206, row 11, seats 7 and 8. Come through. Maybe we'll go get
a brew?
Maybe. Oh, my credit card number got stolen, so I can't afford anything. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William, the Opinion Update.
We'll see you later, guys.